Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Oh, there's a lot of agreement, or at least it seems, especially it seemed in the latter part of the 20th century, between Lutherans and Baptists. There were few who would stand with Lutherans during the battle for the Bible, saying, yes, the Bible is inerrant, it is infallible, it is God's Word from cover to cover, it is, in fact, inspired by the Holy Spirit all the way down to the very Word themselves. That was an unpopular opinion. Still, in a lot of ways, is an unpopular opinion. Something that is not just an opinion, but a truth held in common by both Lutherans and Baptists. But where do the differences lie beyond that? Joining us to talk about the beliefs and practices of Baptists, Pastor Gregory Michael. He's pastor of St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Milan, Illinois, and he's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Being a Baptist. Pastor Michael, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. It's a pleasure to be with you.
What's the biggest thing that Lutherans and Baptists have in common?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, they both are in agreement that the Bible is inspired Word of God, inerrant Word of God, and is our final authority for Christian faith and life. And together with that, they also were we Lutherans are in agreement with them regarding that Jesus Christ has redeemed us. We are saved by God's grace through the blood shed by Christ on the cross, and that gives us the gift of forgiveness and life forever with God. Those two areas probably are the main areas that we have agreement with the Baptists.
With that said, how would you describe the areas of disagreement between Lutherans and Baptists?
Well, the areas of disagreement is mainly, if you were to put your finger on it, is how a Christian comes to faith and comes to belief in Jesus as a Lord. As Lutherans, we believe that our faith, as I mentioned in the article, is a gift of God, worked by the Holy Spirit. As Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians, no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. And Luther teaches us in the Catechism that I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. So we Lutherans believe that faith is a gift, and He gives that gift through means, through word and sacrament. On the other hand, the Baptists believe that the Holy Spirit enlightens a person's heart, you might say, directly without any means. And then as a result, the soul, the individual soul, has the ability to cooperate and decide whether or not to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And so how one comes to faith, how one even is sustained in faith, that's where our disagreements certainly begin, and they kind of go from there.
Okay, so let's explore that a little more if we could. You know, this emphasis on the Holy Spirit working immediately upon the heart of the believer, and then in some sense the believer, the onus is upon him to cooperate with the Holy Spirit's work of conversion. Does that find its way into the Baptist view of, say, baptism?
Certainly it does. One of the more well-known, areas of disagreement that we Lutherans have with Baptists is on infant baptism. They believe infants are incapable of professing faith and demonstrating faith, and infants do not have the ability to cooperate and decide on their own to believe in Christ. that certainly enters in. They believe that in order to be baptized, one has to have made a conscious decision for, again, for Christ. So infant baptism certainly is one of the main areas that we differ in our teaching. Baptism, they believe, is an act of obedience that symbolizes a believer's faith in the crucified and risen Savior, whereas we Lutherans believe that baptism is a gift that gives faith to people of all ages and all nations, whether infant or an adult.
Does the kind of without means theme that we find in Baptist theology also find its way into teachings about the Lord's Supper?
Certainly does. And of course, as Lutherans, we believe that the Lord's Supper is one of the means of grace by which God bestows and seals and gives the forgiveness of sins. By the way, with the sacraments, the Baptists don't use the word sacraments. They use the word ordinances to describe both baptism and the Lord's Supper. For the Baptists, the Lord's Supper is, again, a symbolic act of obedience. There's this big emphasis on obedience in the Baptist teaching, whereby a Christian, by taking the bread and the wine, and that's another thing they do not believe, it's the true body and blood of Christ. Rather, the bread and wine are symbols of Christ's body and blood. And by doing that, they memorialize the death of Christ and kind of look forward to Christ's return by doing so. And so it's kind of like the way I describe it to my people is for the Baptist, from the present, they go backward and try to recall what Christ has done, and that this is a wonderful symbol of what Christ has done. Whereas we Lutherans believe that God brings the gift of the cross to us and bestows actual forgiveness and actual life and salvation. And so, certainly differences extend to the Lord's Supper as well.
Now, one of the things that might not be readily apparent, given the general agreement between Lutherans and Baptists on God's Word, as you said, in all of its facets there, it is divinely inspired, it's authoritative, it's a sole authority for doctrine and life, it is infallible, inerrant. One thing that might surprise people when examining an attendant difference, and it actually is an attendant difference to that similarity, is that Baptists generally, not to a person, but generally attend to shy away from creeds and confessions. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. If you look at the history of the Baptist religion and denominations, there's this emphasis on personal belief. They tend to very much shy away from what they might call a central authority. Again, there's this emphasis on personal faith. They do emphasize Scripture alone, but they do not make use of the three ecumenical creeds as we do as Lutherans, because they would say that they're not directly quotations of Scripture, and they would consider them man-made. They would say, why appeal to a man-made statement, when you can go to the Scriptures directly? And again, there's that, for us as Lutherans, the creeds, as we confess them Sunday after Sunday, unite us with the whole church in a common confession, whereas, again, in the Baptists, there's that emphasis on individual faith and one's personal decision and relationship with Christ. They don't appeal to or certainly quote the creeds like we do.
So two things to note there, and I'd like you to address both of them. Okay. First, that highlights a subtle difference between Lutherans and Baptists, and again, here we speak generally, on Scripture alone. Whereas Baptists would say Scripture alone means each reader of Scripture is his own interpreter. Lutherans have said, not so fast. We cannot ignore the church's reading of Scripture. Therefore, the creeds are there not as a parallel authority or as a comparable authority, but as a confirmation that my individual reading of the Bible is not going to have final authority. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, yes. There's a little Latin lesson for our listeners. We were taught in seminary that Scripture is the norma normans. It's the normie norm. It's the final, you know, the final authority. Whereas the creeds are we use the Latin phrase norma normata. The norms are teaching, but it's been normed by the Scriptures. And so this is, as Lutherans, we, in our use of the creeds, we confess to one another and to the world, this is what we believe the Scriptures to say. And again, in the Bible, we have 66 books of the Bible. And how do you summarize the essence of what it teaches? Well, the creeds do that for us. I find it the beauty of our liturgy, depending upon where you put the creed, whether it's in our service, we put it sometimes before the sermon, and other places it's after the sermon. But in any case, as I tell my people, everything that I preach on, that I say, this is not about my personal interpretation. I am really joining the words that you hear in the sermon, my voice is joined with the whole church. Typically, we, at least in my congregation, we confess the creed after the sermon as an option in Lutheran service book. And so, you know, what we have said is not about my little congregation here in Northwest Illinois. It's about the beauty of this is what the church confesses. And there's certainly, some might say that that's a limiting factor, but it's a beautiful thing if you think about it.
The other thing that highlights, or that we should say here, is that while Baptists might reject the use of creeds, we should say they do not therefore reject what the creeds say.
Right, that would be fair. Yes, to be a fair statement, they do not reject the content of the creed. They just do not use the creed as an authority within the church. Whereas, you know, in the rite of ordination within our Lutheran church, our pastors are that's a vow. That's what we say, that our belief and our teaching will be in conformity with the three creeds and, of course, the Book of Concord and so forth. Rather than a limiting thing, it's a wonderful thing that joins us to. Our Christian faith is much more than just about me, myself, and God, me and Jesus. It's I'm part of, by God's grace, something more wonderful, the Holy Christian Church that confesses like we do.
Pastor Gregory Michael is pastor at St. Matthew's Lutheran Church in Milan, Illinois, and he's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Being a Baptist. Pastor Michael, thank you very much for being our guest.
My pleasure. Good to be with you.
Speaking of being a Baptist, or actually formerly being a Baptist, the Wittenberg Trail feature in the very latest Issues Etc. journal from Baptist minister Lutheran, My Six-Decade Journey on the Wittenberg Trail, written by Dennis McFadden, who spent, well, decades deep inside the Baptist church and only after these decades has emerged from on the Wittenberg Trail to the Lutheran Confession of Faith. You can read all about it in the latest Issues Etc. journal. I also have an article there, part one of Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper. Now you can subscribe for free. Click the red button on the right-hand column of our website, issuesetc.org, and that will subscribe you to the Issues Etc. journal absolutely free. When we come back, it's hour two of Issues Etc. A good question. Where can we find the church? We'll answer that question with Pastor Steve Keiser after this, and then Pastor Tom Baker will take us through the creation of Adam and Eve, our weekly Sunday school lesson. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the Scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. ADCRUCEM.com.